Hey guys, here we are.
No, let's redo that.
Hey guys.
Somebody smells like onion.
Here we are. It's me. We forgot to record the first one. That's why we're doing this. It's a little thingy to do record. Chris, what do you want to say? The first episode is not recorded, so we do this.
Yeah, so we are Al Pacino's prison scene. We are a podcast of three guys who talk about movies that on the surface don't mean anything. And then we talk about the meaning in them. But it's mostly Kyle. I'm funny guy, and he's the boss of us.
I talk.
Kyle, well, he's smart man.
It really smells like onions in here. Oh, it's a trash can. It's open.
We're in a fucking closet.
Why don't you have the lid on the trash can?
Like, comment, subscribe, Al Pacino's Prison Scene, everywhere you find your podcast, okay?
Yeah, also, there's like...
Goodbye. Sound Sauerkraut.
Sound Sauerkraut. That's our slogan. Sound Sauerkraut. That's our slogan. Bye.
You guys hear that? That's the sound of what should be being recorded, but you know. Howdy, round about all you shaggy goose egg boys, and welcome back to the Pacino Pods prison scene.
Hey.
Where we watch the movies and we think about it. When's the last time that I did that intro? Where we like. I said the thing.
I don't think you've ever done that since we've been on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Chris is being a little bit rough. You know, this is, as you know, we were supposed to be recording this, but he forgot his little tray thing, I guess. And Brady Jordan, I'm looking at you. You sold him a jank camera that didn't have a bottom plate for the real camera.
Yeah, for probably more money than it's actually worth.
Yeah. So kind of fuck you. Chris, we love you. Hold my hand, please. Thank you. No, I said hold my hand. I said hold my hand, Chris. There we go. All right, boys. Like we said, we're headed back. This is a school year. Whatever. What are you going to call season two? Whatever we're going to call it. But we have a special guest here.
It's me.
It's Kyle.
I'm back, everybody, after my extended vacation.
His sabbatical.
My sabbatical. Oh, you didn't know? I wasn't here on the last 8 episodes.
It was a figment of your imagination.
Okay.
No, but we do have an actual...
I've never been on the podcast before. Hey, my name's Kyle. Who are you?
I've had no sleep. This isn't funny.
He took the weeds.
No, I did not. I wish.
Yeah, Claire's not here, so...
I wish.
All right, but we do
my
have...
My family listens to this.
Fuck your family.
No, they don't. My family's not good.
Anyway. Hello, we have my family... at the table we have with us, what's her face?
Hi, Mom.
We have Mom. Everybody say hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Wait, she was saying hi, Mom. So, hi, Grandma? Grandma?
Grandma?
Oh, Grandma.
Is that a Pokemon? We also have the rest of the fam here, though. I don't know if you heard that random noise. That was my father over there sitting against the wall whatever. And then we got the two little guys over there. We got the one that's looks like a rhinoceros. And then we got
he
the
sounds
one,
like a rhinoceros.
I know what I'm saying. Then we got the one who looks like a friggin' golf ball with hair.
He sounds like a golf ball.
He's just the what? That's what it
what?
Is.
I tuned out.
Chris is
hey, what a good segue! Because talk about tuning. You know what gets tuned?
My mom.
Oh, I forgot to do that. I meant to do that. My mom. Guitars. And you know what movie we're doing today?
Guitars.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Shit.
Oh, good for Chris.
Yeah, good for Chris. Yeah, he also watched the wrong movie. But then he watched the right one, so it's okay. Yeah, my mom, when she came in here, she said, we all know Chris is a piece of shit.
But it's okay.
It was the first thing that she said when I walked in.
Chris knocked on the door and said, oh, hello. And she said, oh, good, Chris is a piece of shit. And we all were just standing there like, whoa.
Yeah, it's not a joke. It's pretty much all that happened.
We all know Chris is a piece of shit, but I'm here to defend him today. So you boys quit picking on him right now.
Hey, Chris.
She said that I'm a piece of shit more times than she said.
But stop picking on him. I'm here.
Defending
him. I'm here to defend you.
She's like, I'm here to defend that piece of shit. And
hey,
she said,
you know
that's
what,
my piece of
you
shit.
You know what Jason always says?
What?
you're a piece of shit.
Yeah. You know, he goes, in theory.
In theory.
You're a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
That one's for you, Jason. $10. School of Rock.
School of Rock.
We did this one because it's back to school and it has school in the title. So I thought,
it's pretty smart.
That'd be a good one to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here we are doing that. This movie, for those of you who can't see into my apartment, my old one, I had a poster wall. And on the poster wall, there were 65 frames from a movie. Movies.
It was all the same movie.
Yeah, it was literally... It was
a solid two...
Literally 65 continuous frames.
Yeah.
Of nothing that really mattered either.
It was just like kinda, 4 seconds.
Yeah. But one of them was school. Is that good? See, Chris likes
it. Why do you always make pizza?
Because it's good.
Because he knows you want a piece of this.
Anyway. And on that poster. Chris thought that was funny. On that poster wall was School of Rock. And it's always been a classic.
Yeah.
But really this time, I don't know about you guys, really this time it was like, holy crap, this is a good
movie. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is basically like Tenacious D meets Dead Poet Society.
I haven't seen Dead Poet Society.
You haven't? Yeah, clearly you haven't. Okay? I haven't. I had a stroke.
I cooked a shrimp with alcohol, so.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Chris is like, how am I going to drive home?
I got some more snaps. But yeah, School of Rock. Anyway, poster wall, fantastic movie, nostalgic, but really, again, just a good movie.
Yeah,
I laughed at this one more than I did Tenacious D, mm-hmm. which I don't know if that's a, I don't know what that means.
Well, this came out first, right?
This is 2003,
and then Tenacious D was 2004, wasn't it?
2006.
Okay.
Oh wow.
So yeah, 4 years later, three years later, we have this.
Yeah.
What about you, Mom? Because you're a little bit older. You're like 40 or something.
Or something. Well, I like School of Rock a lot. I like the music. You know, they play a little Who in there, which I'm a super huge Who fan, so.
And it goes.
Wait, Who?
Exactly.
Doctor Who.
He goes. Step off!
Yes. Lots of guitar. And you know, the one young guy in that reminds me of Adrian Brody, too. He looks like Adrian Brody, but the younger guy. Yeah,
Zach, the guitar guy.
And so I think he's cute.
I didn't.
He's weird cute. Well, he's weird cute. Like Kylo Ren. He is
definitely a minor.
Yeah, I think.
No, I'm talking about Adrian Brody.
Oh,
well, at one point he was a minor.
He was a minor at the point you're thinking of.
Okay, and then I'm gonna be like my dad, and I'm gonna be like, how come like Jack Black's character was not arrested for impersonating another person, and basically being in the presence of minors without the appropriate clearance?
Oh, he ran away.
But everything goes, turns out well for him, and so I know that my father would be critical of that. So therefore, I must call that out.
Yeah, well, Grandpa Folt, you know what? You're right.
I was going to say, I thought about that when when I watched it this time, and I was expecting a line of dialogue to be like, we didn't press charges, but that never happened.
There's absolutely no closure.
I mean, they make a joke about that, like, for all the parents know, he molested them, which, I mean,
he even hints at that, too.
Yeah, but, like, for all they know, he did.
He goes, I'm pretty sure I touched them, too.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They're rocked so hard, it didn't matter.
That's what it. Yeah, one rock show can change the world. That's what he says.
Or
that's
a man's
what
life.
She said.
No, that's what he said.
Well,
she. No, that's said what Dwayne too. Johnson's.
As long
wife
as you're
said.
Rock hard, it's okay.
Oh,
rock show.
Yeah.
Ew.
Chris, there are children here.
I know.
Yeah. All right, recap time.
You curse in front of your family.
Jungle Cruise.
That's cool.
Shut the fuck up.
Wow, he's so cool. I want to be like him one day.
All right.
Hold on. Okay. Do you make us a bit snappy? Because she does have to leave at some point.
Yes. So.
They have to go to class.
Please feel free to help me with this.
I have to go to school.
Because I'm prefacing this right now. This is going to be a rocky-ass recap. Like, more than normal.
Nice. Pun. Good one.
I didn't even do that intentionally. Thank you, All right.
School Rock.
Maybe he's not a biggest piece of shit as we all thought.
Ting Tang.
They're only 10 times.
I'm just a little cool.
All right, School of Rock.
All right, School of Rock starts off with Tenacious D performing. It's Jack Black's other band that's fictional. Playing a little rock show in an open mic night. And he tries to crowd surf, but he lands on his face. And then we cut to him sleeping on his face in his apartment. And
good
his,
shot.
Yeah, good shot. Also, well, I'll talk about it later. So anyway, his buddy and roommate, Ned, comes up to him. And he's
Ned!
Like,
he's 10 like, bucks. Actually, you know what? 20 bucks.
And so his buddy... Okay. And so his buddy and roommate comes up to him and says, hey, Ned. Man.
Hey, you know what they say? Power of threes, baby.
Hey, man, I don't got much self-esteem or money, and my girlfriend is begging me to make you pay rent that you haven't paid in years. And he's like, okay.
Chris is a good storyteller.
Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, I'll pay you back when I make it big as a rock star. And they're like, huh, good luck with that. And so later... by the way, his roommate is a teacher, a substitute teacher at the moment, and Jack Black's character's name is Dewey. I didn't say that. And so anyway, he hears a call on the home phone, picks it up, and they say, "Hey, we're a cool prep school, and we need a substitute teacher now. Are you Ned?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm Ned," but he's not. And
so, he goes, "Yo, I'm Ned."
And so they're like, oh, okay, we'll pay you $600 at the end of the week, and you just come substitute right now. And he's like, okay. And so he drives over to the school, and they're like, hey, here's the kids. Okay, bye. And he's like, all right, cool. And so he just kind of slacks off. And the kids are like, well, wait a minute. We're preppy kids, and we want to learn. And he's like, oh, that's not normal. Yeah. Just have recess. Yeah. And so... All right, help me out.
They have recess,
and then a couple days go by.
One day.
And Schneebly's like, I don't care. Do what you want. And then Summer's like, I want gold stars! And Freddy is like, Ned! Because he also has a lot of demerits, because he's the cool kid. And then the lady, the Miss Mullins or whatever, is like, something... She's like, meh, or whatever. And then they already had lunch.
They go to music class.
And yeah, they already had lunch, and they go to music class. And Schneebly's like...
Well, this is Dewey as Ned Schneebly.
For those of you who can't see, I was giving a curious look.
Yeah, so he listens into the kids at music class, and he's like, oh, wow, these kids are actually kind of talented. And so... He goes out to his van. He gets all his music equipment. When the kids come back, they see the all this like guitars and keyboards and stuff and drums are in the class. And Ned is now finally excited to teach them how to be rock stars. And so that's pretty much the rest of the movie because he thinks that he can use the kids or
I should use the kids to destroy the kids.
No, I shouldn't say the word use because like it kind of seems like
in
that.
In order to defeat kids, but you gotta use kids. Hey, but you know what? Kids are usually like not that tall. One might say they're short. And one might say you can smoke up and short out.
I hate that that's a phrase that I didn't even want to.
Hey, you said it.
Kyle, I know exactly what you're doing. Please stop.
Do you? Do you? Do you? Distraction.
Yeah. Did you feel the other foot, or did you just feel that one?
For those of you who can't
see. So anyway, he gets the kids together.
For those of you can't see, Kyle's untying his shoes, but Chris doesn't know it.
He doesn't know at this point.
Oh my god. All right, so anyway, he basically decides to teach the kids how to play like bass guitar and electric guitar as opposed to like cello and all the classical instruments that they're using, and they're really good because they're naturally talented. He sees this, and even the kids who can't play musical instruments, he instruments he
he makes a point to give them a job to make sure that they're included. And so it does change from him using them to win Battle of the Bands to pay the rent, to he just wants to make the kind of band that he's never been in before, where it feels more like a family. And so that's pretty much
family.
And so really,
you don't need to play good music when you have family.
Really, that's mostly the rest of the movie. He tells them that this is instead of a battle of bands, this is a music like contest for did you say homeschools?
No, for all the schools in the
state. Yeah, for all the schools in the state. And this is a school sanctioned thing, but he doesn't want them to tell like the teachers or the parents or anything, because he's like, oh, we're getting a head start.
So pretty much he kidnaps them.
Pretty much, honestly.
No,
yeah.
He
uses them and he kidnaps them.
Yeah, because after
he touches them.
Yeah, he kid awakes them.
Well, we're almost there. But anyway, so after they practice for like a week or so, they do go to the audition, and some stuff happens. He has a little heart to heart to the drummer kid, and so they come back and they're like, oh, auditions are over. And he's like, oh, wait, no, that's not good. And so he decides to have the kids act like they have cancer. And so they're like, okay, since you're with Make-A-Wish Foundation, I'll let you guys play without even doing an audition. So they're like, okay, cool. We're able to do the contest. And then the principal lady is like, oh, no. Teacher, student,
the principal lady is played by Bill Cosby. All right.
Anyway, Kyle said something bad, not me this time. And
tired.
Yeah. Tired. So anyway, the principal lady is like, oh, well, you gotta put together a presentation because all the students' parents are gonna be here, and I have low self-esteem as well. And he's like, ah, oh, shit.
Dude, he goes, well, Mickey, I don't know how to do a presentation.
Of course. But
she was also in Looney Tunes back.
So anyway, yeah, he has a parent-teacher conference with the students as well, like the entire classroom with the parents are there, and he's not able to save himself. I mean, the police show up too, because right before then, his roommate,
Ned's freaking girlfriend,
yeah, well,
dummy.
His roommate Nate
that
finds out
bitch.
That he's been doing
yeah.
this.
Sarah
which honestly,
yeah.
why would you bitch
Sarah
about
Silverman,
that? I mean, he did
like
his
Sarah
job for him, and he got the paycheck
you,
anyway.
Man.
So
Sarah Killer,
but so anyway, yeah, it looks like he has been. You know,
terminated.
Well, yeah, like abducting kids and stuff and endangering them. And instead of going to jail, the police just take him back to his apartment.
No,
even though I feel like
happens.
It probably.
Well, he does. He runs
away.
Yeah, yeah, and the police don't arrest him. So
he's hiding.
Yeah.
Impersonating another person, isn't that?
And
like
so this is the day before the contest, and the students decide to abduct the bus driver to have the bus driver.
I don't think the bus driver knows that he's being abducted.
Yeah, he doesn't. I'm trying to be funny. Shut the fuck up. So
yeah, well, it's not really good. You know what's funny, Chris?
What?
Don't say it.
The tray.
Hey, yeah,
it's for horses.
So anyway, they abduct they abduct Dewey, and they're like, "Hey, we're going to see this through. We're gonna do the contest." And he's like, "All right, cool." And so they get there, and they're like, "Oh wow, we're really intimidated by all these like grown up bands." And they're like, "Hey, no, you guys are great, and I want to use the song that our guitarist wrote, Zach, and it's awesome because it's a song about like the prep school and how it's like, no, you need to be this. You can't go out and experience the art and shit and be yourself. And it's an awesome song. And it starts out with, if I'm not mistaken, it's the guitar riff that opens. Is it Blood by AC/DC? It's an AC/DC song.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Blood.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
If you
sure.
want Blood, you got it. And also, kind of a note,
they're wearing their school uniforms, and they make a school uniform for Jack Black, and he kind of resembles the lead singer of AC/DC in that. So that's all I was going to say.
That's definitely an accurate observation.
Yeah, and so they rock out. Oh, and
I'm stupid. I've been thinking of Kiss this whole
and
time.
The parents are in the audience because they thought that he had abducted the kids. And
you say he deducted?
He had abducted the kids. I have a list.
These kids, they're all.
They're,
and
these
so,
kids,
and so
I took them.
They're in the audience and they see their kids are rocking out and they're like, you know what? My kid's talented. We should let this guy have a after school program where he like continues to teach them rock music, and that is exactly what happens, and that is how it ends. And then it goes to the credits where they play a Long Way to the Top, If You Want to Rock and roll, which is an AC/DC song.
And then they end
AC/DC
it
with
a fourth wall break.
The movie's over.
Yeah, that was like a really cool credit scene. Also, I found out today that they did a 10-year reunion concert.
Did. You didn't know about that?
I did not know that.
Oh, really?
No.
Dang. Yeah, that happened back in like 2013.
Yeah, I know. Well, that 20 years coming up.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's almost time.
I'm here for it.
I wonder what all those kids look like growing up now. Because, like,
I know one of them's in prison.
No, Drake Bell wasn't in there.
Oh.
Wait. Got him.
No, names every celebrity wasn't in there.
Hey, man, if you're a good teacher, you're a good teacher. All right, listen up, boys. So, actually, I was taking notes pretty solidly, like, the first, like, 20 minutes, and then I accidentally stopped and just kept watching the movie.
That was me, but instead of, like,
yeah, but you
minutes,
just don't take
was,
notes,
it was
Chris.
5 minutes.
I do.
I thought you were going to say you fell asleep.
So you don't write them.
I hardly took any notes after the first act ended.
Yeah, me too.
And then, like, I wrote some things that of my, like, thoughts about it once, like, the last concert was being on, and then I started writing what I was, you know, thought it was about or whatever, but I didn't take notes after like the first, like once everything got set up.
Yeah.
And once, like, basically I would say like once the kids, like once he brought the instrument in for the kids, I just stopped like taking notes.
Well, is that cause like you just, cause for me, it was like, I've just seen this movie so many times and I, number one, I was just so entertained by it and so like drawn into it that I didn't, but also I've seen it enough that I didn't have to.
Yeah. It was a little bit like that. Yeah. Excuse me. Until I got to the very end, I was kind of worried that I wasn't going to find anything like substantive to talk about with this one, because this is one of those ones where it doesn't. It's more so just like a fun romp. It doesn't really have any. Or I don't think it was actively trying to give an explicit meaning beyond like a general like, you know, hey, do something good, you know,
right,
you know, kind of thing. But it flirts around with a bunch of ideas, but it doesn't really, its finale doesn't really tackle any of those ideas. I don't think so, at least. And maybe we can talk about that. But it was on the other side. Like, I had seen this, like, a bunch growing up. And so I was like, oh, yeah, shit, I remember this now.
All right, Chris, what about you?
as far as what it's about?
Well, that and, like, you said, like, you stopped taking notes. It just,
I didn't really have many notes. One thing was that this is the most like creative credits that I've seen, not just the closing credits, but even the opening. It was like the production companies were all shown diegetically in the like band posters and stuff. This was made by Paramount, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It,
why is it on Paramount Plus?
Well, is it not technically a Nickelodeon movie?
Was it not on Paramount Plus?
I didn't check.
Should be.
Let me look.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I know they made like a fucking like sitcom adaptation of it,
which is probably.
I did see that too. Advertised.
Yeah, super stupid.
I did not look at it. I just saw it advertised.
Yeah. Nickelodeon. All Nickelodeon live action shows were terrible.
Anything that was originally like Jack Black.
Oh, it is. It was just a Nickelodeon film.
Was just Tenacious D. For,
did you not know that? Because they gave a Nickelodeon a...
Yeah.
At the beginning.
I just think about iCarly.
This may be the best thing that company has ever made. Because it feels like the least corporate thing that they... Like, movie.
Well, they literally say, stick it to the man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stick. What is it? Stick it to the monosis?
Stick it to the monosis.
But, it doesn't really feel like most Looney Tunes movies do, where it's like they're...
they're trying too hard.
That's not Paramount.
No, I'm just talking about like the corporate movies that say corporations are bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is always really funny.
Yeah.
And then people eat that shit up. They're like, yeah, they are. Oh, did you... I need a hamburger.
I loved during like the midst of the pandemic. We're going to get there, guys. I promise. but it like Lay's specifically, it was like, it's not about brands. We're not trying to be a brand, but we're Lay's. Buy our chips because we're not a brand.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait a second. What are you doing?
Trying to get the people in New York City to go, well, it passes my morality test. I guess I'll still buy it as if I was ever going to stop.
All right, Amazon people. Nose ring, head ass. Looking at you. All right, anyway, Chris, you look like Shaggy.
I wish I could do Shaggy.
Oh, Zoinks.
In the best way possible.
Yo.
In the best way
possible. I like Zoinks!
Whoa. That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got the Shaggy underwear, too.
I don't even know what underwear I'm wearing.
He's like, oh my god, that's not mine. He goes, that's Claire's.
Okay, so yeah, as far as meaning goes, Chris.
Well, I mean, simply put, stick it to the man. But also okay. other things. Like, well, it kind of ties into what Tenacious D was about, like the upbringing of
friendship.
Shut the fuck up, Kyle. No, it's more.
Sorry. I kind of zoned out.
I kind of zoned out for a second.
I was like, wait, what?
No, because I had a good point. Well, it like
y'all quit picking on Chris.
Thank you.
See, that's why I'm here.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Hard to do. It's just y'all put bubbles in your mouth now and behave so Chris can make his point.
I've never heard that phrase.
And then we can make it and then we can move on. Chris.
Okay. This is why we it's like, all right, Chris, your turn. He goes,
kind of how like generations before, like, you know, current try to live through them in a way. Yeah. And they're like just kind of create the same cycle.
So. Okay. All right, Mom. Oh wait, you didn't watch the movie.
Like, I didn't watch the movie recently. Kind of I couldn't find it on any streaming service.
That's why I watch it legally.
But yeah, well, I don't know how to do that because I'm old as freaking mold. So I don't know how the hell to do that.
Well, my mold just got there. So
where at?
No, it's been bread. There. You just didn't know. You just couldn't see it.
Bread.
You
mold.
Want some bread? Oh. I've got plenty of bread. I tried to give Jake some bread a few weeks ago, and it was just rock hard. You know what else is
that's also what she said.
The Rock.
Dude. You guys got some stale ass fucking bread in here.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Man, you got some stale ass
bread. All right. What were we saying?
Well, I just, you know, because I try to think, okay, like, was there a lesson learned? But again, I feel like Jack Black's character may have been the one to learn a lesson. Yeah. Like, maybe you should be going to jail or having some sort of penalty for what you've done.
But
he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the parents had the lesson. Because I'm just having flashbacks to, like, Sister Act 2. Right? Where old... oh, my gosh.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg. But the second one where... Oh, my gosh. I can see her face, but I can't think of her name. Because, again, I'm so damn old. And her mom, like, does not want her either to chase her dreams.
So parents are trash.
Sure. Parents do, listen, parents do have a bad habit of stifling their children's spirits. Mm-hmm. We try to make them someone that they're not. Mm-hmm. We do. That's why you have three, because by the time you get to the third one, you don't really care anymore and you don't stifle their spirits. So
why do you think that is?
I'm gonna tell you when I'm done reading the seven habits of highly effective people, because like that's what the intro in that book is about, is basically how it's our perspective that impacts how we're like we all do it, but parents especially try to make everybody else fit the mold of their perspective. Mm-hmm. So,
but I mean, like on a social level, why do you think that is so pervasive? Because I think it has something to do with the fact that is necessary. Maybe not to the extent that we see, like, you know, like in like School of Rock or like Tenacious D or something like that. But it's certainly necessary that you don't want your kids to be someone that other people hate.
Yeah. I mean, I do think like it's like being a productive member of society. Right. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to about like how that reflects on us.
Yeah.
So really it is an issue of a fear of failure with yourself.
Right.
And that's why you're really trying to control your children and make them into this productive member of society. But it's the productive member of society that society labels. And I do think that in our history now, we've come to a point where we are a lot more open to allowing people to be more themselves. But, you know, just again, just being like blue collar, conservative, I think especially with other people who think more conservatively in things, it's still really a stigma with us, you know, for our kids not to fit that perfect mold. But it's totally a societal thing. So again, the kids in this then through Jack Black's character are allowed to have some of that freedom and they're allowed to have some of that exploration. And really, I mean, he does do something good in introducing them to music and a different type of music and exploring their own creativity and who they really are. And so again, I think it's great for the kids and there's some, you know, good character development there with the kids and things. But again, I'm just like, Jack Black, you probably shouldn't have arrested. And I don't know why you weren't arrested. Because it's a movie, Mom. Yes, hey, because it's a movie.
Do you guys see where I get my big brains from now?
No.
No.
Oh. They may have just called me stupid. No.
That's what I understand. I'm starting to kind of like reassess what I think this is about. I think it's also about just the school system or the education system.
I can get behind that.
Because instead of just using a curriculum for all the kids, Jack Black, even though he's talking about like, you know, rock star stuff and music, he pays attention to the things that each individual kid is good at.
Yeah.
Well,
and I mean, we can go ahead and like be biblical and talk about the body of Christ and how the whole emphasis with the body of Christ is that each of these individuals, first of all, are individuals with different giftings, with different abilities and things. And that's where that unity happens, right? So just as you're speaking to in the classroom situation, it's similar, right? They're each individual. And so in order to experience the wholeness and the fullness, we have to gather those things that each individual is good at, right? Because where I'm strong, you're going to be weak, but it's okay because where I'm weak, you're going to be strong. So did they go, is this a public school or a private school here?
It's a private school. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I will say like my experiences typically in the private school, which you had a great education. I will never complain about the education you had in public school, in private school, because you have fewer kids in your class, teachers are able to teach outside of just the standardized system that our feds or our state government anticipates. So in private school, they really are more allowed to explore their unique giftings and things and have their needs met. But I do agree, like Jack Black, definitely his character permitted that exploration in this movie. So
how does it feel to have someone talk as much as you do, Kyle?
I never get to talk that much without being interrupted.
Well, it's my mother. If I interrupt her, she's gonna hit me. So
yeah. I would not. Maybe just pull your chest hair out.
Well, that hurts too.
Hey, I won't know that pain.
Baby chest. Let me hit a
baby oil chest.
Let me hit a couple few points right quick. So you talked about You talked about the kids having their parents kind of restrict their creativity, their flow of knowledge, whatever. But Jack Black and Ned have the same thing. I don't even know. What is his girlfriend's name?
Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, that's all. That's what I call her, too.
But in the movie, does she have a name?
I'm sure she has a bitch number one.
I don't know.
Was there a bitch number two?
It would have to be.
I don't know what her name was in there, but I'm sure she's credited with the name.
They do give her a name. I just forgot what it was.
I don't either. Anyway, point being, but she also kind of serves the same role of...
She must not have been highly paid, huh?
No, there she is. Patty is her name. Of course. She serves the same role as the parents do, kind of like stifling not only Ned's but also Jack Black's creativity, because we see she's like, when are you gonna start standing up for yourself? You need to tell him that he needs to move out.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that, you know,
she's being the presence that's commanding him to not be commanded.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is ironic.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And then I love at the end Ned slams a door in her face and goes to this concert.
Yeah.
He's sticking it to the man or the woman. But I think that is interesting that she's kind of a parallel to, I mean, not necessarily the school board, because the principal seems kind of cool, but more the parents.
Right.
And it's not necessarily that, like, we can't teach you differently, but it's more like, instead of what are you good at, it's this is what you're going to be good at.
Right.
I see it as a control issue. It's a control issue.
Ms. Mullins,
and she does the same
thing. Says this. Ms. Mullins says this. She goes to Jack Black with the teaching thing. She's like, do you mind if I sit in? You know, that whole thing happens. And then she says, you know, she's like, I appreciate, you know, your willingness and your different styles of teaching, but that's not what we do here. Mm-hmm. Here at Preppy Board School, insert name, we do things this way and this way only.
Yeah. Well, I think this is something interesting, and I don't know any conclusions that I can draw from it, but Ned was in the same vein as Jack Black before the movie starts, right? He was, you know, another like rock and roll guy. He wasn't doing very well. He was dressed as Kiss.
Satanic sex god, quote. Yeah.
Now, he wasn't making any money. He probably was in the same vein as Jack Black as far as his financial situation goes. And it wasn't until his girlfriend came along that he did settle down enough to actually be able to pay for an apartment and assuming, like, you know, other things that you could want or more importantly need. And I think it's interesting that all of those kids that were in the classroom, statistically, if they stay on that curriculum path, they are more likely than anybody else in our society, barring the few exceptional people who happen to create like an actual product or service that everybody wants. They are the people who are most likely to do well. And I think it comes on the topic of what is success? How do you define that?
Right.
And that could be difficult. I would say success is specifically not moving backwards. And it's not that you would compare your successful situations to other people. It's that you compare to, like I've said before, you know, compare yourself to who you were yesterday. Because if you've grown and changed for the better from who you were yesterday, then that's a success. As long as you're not moving backwards towards your goal, then you're at the very least, you're not, well, I just said that you're not moving backwards, but again, you do have to have a goal. And I think that ties into, what do we mean by success? What is the goal for these children? Is it to play these rock shows? Because hey, they might do well, but they might not. But if that's your goal, what happens when it fails? Like, is your goal has to be something that is always obtainable, right? Otherwise, well, I don't think people can live very long without goals.
So not to cut you off, but Soren Kierkegaard kind of talks about this I don't think you've looked into this yet, but
I'm reading like three books right now, so calm down.
Yeah, you know which one isn't one of them?
Kierkegaard's, what is it? Three Spheres of
Existence, yeah.
Well, that's what he talks about. What is the name of it? Because I looked it up, and it was like $16, and I was like,
I don't know what the book's called.
Yeah.
But I do know that philosophy. Basically, he talks about there's the aesthetic life, the ethical life, and the religious life. Mm-hmm. But the aesthetic life, again, I've talked about this on the bike, it's just like, you know, everybody, day to day. Aesthetic would be Ned. Mm-hmm. Ned would be the aesthetic life. And the ethical life is basically, there is a level of infinitude, right? You have this goal that is unobtainable, right? But you still view it as obtainable and you strive for that, but you struggle and you suffer through life, mm-hmm. right? Where the religious life You realize the goal is unobtainable, but you still strive for that.
You just described both of those as the same thing.
No, I didn't.
You said the ethical life was an unobtainable goal.
Right, they both are.
Okay.
But the ethical life is not realizing that it's unobtainable.
Oh, so you think it is.
Right.
Okay, I got you.
So the ethical life is you do think it is obtainable.
I got you.
Yeah, I would disagree with you there when you say you need a tangible goal. And I understand that in terms of success throughout life, right? Like it's, you know, getting the job, you know, being able to pay your house off, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, I do think...
being able to develop relationships.
Right, but I think, at least in the sense of this movie, there is also the unobtainable, right? Mm-hmm. Because Ned says, just give up.
Yeah.
Look at me, I'm happy now. Even though he looks sad.
He's not.
He always looks sad, yeah.
But he's like, look at me, I'm successful. I have a girlfriend who commands me around.
Yeah.
You know? Just give up. And Jack Black goes, it was easy for you to give up, but it's not for me because the music is inside me.
Yeah.
And that success, you know, making it may not even be the ultimate goal that Jack Black has. Maybe the ultimate goal that he has is just to play, to make a living off playing, just experiencing and playing the music.
No, I understand. I understand that. I'm the point that I think I was trying to make is that you do have to have a goal.
Right.
You can't live without a goal. You can't walk into a fucking room without a goal. Just try to do it. You'll be really confused.
You ever done that before? Is walking into the room the goal, or is that...
No, I'm saying, yes.
But once you get in there, once you go past that.
Yeah.
And you walked into the kitchen.
Okay.
I do that all the time.
Exactly. And then you're extremely confused. You're in a place of intense chaos because you didn't have a goal when you did something. You can't do something without a goal. You just can't. There is nothing that you could say that you could just be like, I need to sleep. That's your goal.
It might be literally impossible.
It is.
Because
that's what I'm saying, because goals, it's not like every single action you take is going to help you get to this unobtainable goal. Although you could argue that that's the case, but, or either going to or away from that goal, but you always have some sort of goal in mind because you're an action oriented person, and goals are just points of where your action goes
in order to get there.
Yeah. And so that's the point that I'm making, is that you have to have a goal. So if you are alive, you have to have a goal. So you have to think, okay, well, if I have to have one, what is the best goal for me to have? And you have to weigh that against maybe what what you would say your heart tells you and what your mind tells you, right? You have to figure out, okay, what do I want? And then what do I need? How do I find a balance between that so I can constantly be pushing myself? Because again, you don't want to go away from the goal, and you would prefer not to stay stagnant, because stagnation is a form of death. Well,
I think that's what leads to what we end up with Ms. Mullen's character.
Yeah, exactly.
Is how she's just super tightly wound and kind of just stuck. I don't want to say this liminal space, because I don't think she is. She may be, but I wouldn't say that she is.
She's certainly lost.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Well, it's making me think about, and again, I'm thinking about Jack Black's character. I'm thinking about the principal's character, because we do set goals, but what do we do when we find ourselves in that situation where, like, maybe with the principal, maybe her goal was to be principal, and she got there. And maybe she does have some goals inside of that, you know, being the most prestigious school or whatever that may look like. But then you definitely can tell from her character, though, that she, something is missing in that.
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing with like Jack Black's character, right? Because initially his goal is like, I need to go make $600 to pay rent to get this bitch off my back for a week or two, you know?
Talking to you.
And so then he does that. And initially it's just, okay, I'm getting the paycheck. Well, then his goal shifts because he sees the musical talent.
His goal shifts.
And then his goal shifts.
Shifts.
Like shafts. Shifts. Anyways,
speaking of touching,
you know, but his goal changes as he gains knowledge And even then,
knowledge.
Well, I think about where he ends up, which is he ends up with this after school program that seems to be extremely successful, but that was really never his goal until he went through all these other steps. Yeah. And then got to this point where it was like, always okay, his now passion. Here is,
perhaps 100%. Perhaps it was his goal. It just wasn't an articulated one.
Well, so, and that's kind of where I was going to get to near the end of this, was that I think that we end up with something that is reminiscent of not only Nacho Libre, which is another Jack Black film, but also something reminiscent of Soul, which I don't like Soul's ending already. Yeah,
he should have died.
He should have died. Absolutely. But
I
need to. But
I will
say
it's pretty good. Sorry. But it's not the best. No, yeah, Inside Out is the way perfect better. Pixar movie.
Yes.
Really. Yeah, Inside Out. If you have you seen that?
Oh my god.
Dude,
I know
you gotta watch
it.
I mean, I have always thought the Up was the best.
Well, you haven't seen Inside Out.
I did too until I saw Inside Out.
Really?
Shout out.
Dude, it's one of those ones.
That kind of makes me not want to watch.
Shout out. Dude, you gotta watch. Like, you and Claire would love that.
But that's kind of the point.
It's not anime, so you gotta watch it.
Well, that's the.
I don't like anime.
But that's the.
Well, especially when she's not here. But my point in saying that is, and you kind of hit around this as well, Mom, is that what I think, you know, you talk about, like, what lesson can be learned. And so maybe there is not an overall kind of theme that is just woven innately throughout this film, like something in Fast Five. But I still think that it exists at the beginning and at the end. And like, as Kyle, you told me in one of our conversations, that those two things have to be amazing. And I think here they are. I think, so we set up kind of, again, like you said, what Jack Black's goal was, right? Is to pay the rent to make money, but to make it as a musical artist, right? For those of you who can't see, Kyle was stroking...
Chris.
And Chris was rubbing his foot on my leg very seductively.
Just Kyle was stroking Chris.
No, it was definitely mutual.
Well, that
oh, so they were mutually stroking.
He was good.
And so, but in the end, it's Jack Black's goal, right, has changed into furthering these children's talents, skills, freedoms, whatever you want to call it. And so what we have is a true passion disguised as a word.
No.
What are you trying to say?
So Jack Black's ultimate goal is to teach these kids.
Yeah.
But it was disguised as him wanting
to... It was disguised as a vanity project.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Perhaps.
But through the film, he discovers what his true passion is. And that's what happens in Soul, is that the guy... It was Jamie Foxx voices him, right?
His name is Joe in there, wasn't it?
Is it Joe? Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Regardless, you know what we're talking about. Joe is like, I want to make it big. You know, I want to play with Aretha Franklin or whoever it was. But he goes back to teaching. Holy crap. Soul ripped off School of Rock.
Yeah.
I'm looking at
School
you, Disney.
School of Rock maybe ripped off Sister Act 2. I'm just putting it out there.
No, they don't play music in that movie.
No, I haven't seen that movie.
They use their voices
There literally is no song at all or musical melody whatsoever in that
movie. Sister Act?
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
Not a single one.
Okay.
It's been proven.
Okay.
But yeah, so I do think that that's kind of what... And what happens in Nacho Libre, too, is that Jack Black wants to be a wrestler, but ends up through this experience, you know, with Espizote or whatever his name is, discovers what his true passion is, which is caring for others, which I think is an ultimate goal of humanity. And I said this in Nacho Libre, it's like taking what you are good at and using that to teach others.
We're talking about self-actualization.
I don't think that's the goal of humanity. Because I think there are...
Well, I think that's... like I think,
I think
that's
that
a...
is the goal of Western civilization.
All right, Dom.
Well, I'm just saying that because...
He's been honest, hasn't he?
There are...
Who?
Kyle.
What? Yeah, he has.
He hates fucking Western civilization, dude. You're living in the West,
no,
baby.
No, I think he loves it.
Okay. All right.
Why are you looking at it like that?
I did not say
that. Is he giving me the damn stank eye when I'm not looking?
He is.
Oh, shit. Oh, I saw him that time.
I'm saying there are cultures that are very much in favor of not promoting individualism or individuals in general. There are. I can't, because the thing, and this is the thing that kind of upsets me when I watch The Tomorrow War with Chris Pratt.
Oh, dude, don't even get me started.
Wait, is that the show?
No, that's the movie that just came out. It's so bad.
So here's the thing.
So bad.
Oh, I love Chris Pratt.
It's bad. If it's here's what I thing. Think it is, it's directed by...
It's actually not too bad. It's a Vietnam... I didn't figure this out until I watched it the second time. It's a movie about Vietnam. And it's actually kind of interesting. Anyways.
Vietnam War.
No, I was saying what I don't like about The Tomorrow War is that when the entire world is threatened by the future, right? And then they do like a worldwide draft and everybody from every single country, and you see from like all, you know, like generally speaking, right, all the different countries, everybody going voluntarily to go fight for the future. I do not think that would happen. There are lots of countries and lots of different cultures that wouldn't necessarily see the ending of the ending of the world as a terrible thing.
Interesting. Yeah. So
universalism is wrong because people disagree. Like, yeah, you can't have, that's the thing. It's like beyond, I would say, objective scientific philosophies, as in like, you know, physics, chemistry, you know, things of that physical science nature. There's no social science universalism. There's not.
Well,
you can't have it.
And so this is kind of what you run into with 1984 with Ingsoc.
Oh, we're listening to that right now.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. The ending.
It's one of the best books.
The ending was rough.
I don't think I've ever read it, and we're listening to it.
I was not happy, but I think that's probably the best way it could have ended.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's a great George Orwell was a socialist too.
Look at that. You hear that? Nose rings.
No, my favorite quote of George Orwell is, it's something along the lines of, I wonder if you're a socialist because you like the poor or if you hate the rich. It was something along those lines. And he was a socialist. And I just think that's really, really...
What is this? Black Widow? Hashtag Karl Marx. Not a socialist, but not Western Republic, represented Republic, so bad. Does that make sense?
Like I said, what I said? You just gave me a lot of words.
It's like I said, Black Widow's about American nationalism.
I might say patriotism. I might not go as far as to say nationalism. Anyway, yeah, Ingsoc, you know, again, that's kind of one of those things. Possibly the only way to reach that is by taking away everyone's freedom. Mm-hmm. And so there we go. That's what School of Rock is partially about, is keeping that freedom.
Yeah. No, because, I mean, if there's one thing that the 60s taught us, is that social engineering does not work.
And disco.
And was that the 60s? 70s. That was the 70s, yeah. 70s,
well, you know, same year.
Yeah, it's the same.
Just change the number.
Yeah.
Math doesn't matter. Hey, math doesn't matter, and Jack Black said it first.
Yeah, he did say it.
But I know what it is, because 2 plus 2 equals 4 minus 1 times 3 equals math.
Yeah. Boom, boom. Pretty sure you need math for rock and roll. 2 plus 2
equals 4. No.
Thank you there.
No.
But, you have to be able to count to 4. At the very least.
But no, I think...
If you can't count to 4, what are you doing?
I think it's...
Yeah, if you can't count to 4, what are you doing?
5.
I can't count to 4. I think,
yeah, if you can't count to 4, what are you doing?
I think
not counting to 4.
Going back, social engineering, it doesn't work because the it's like when you have a sociological theory, you're not supposed to insert humans into that theory. You're supposed to have human capacity and all that their possibility and ability, and then you form a theory off of that. Not the reverse. And I know that's kind of hitting around the actual movie, but I think that's important to know, is that people are individuals and they have individual capacity. And I think it's so bewildering to me that no matter who you are on the political spectrum, that if you are an outlying ideology, that you believe in social engineering. If you're the ultra conservative, you believe in making everybody, you know, believe what you believe, do what you do, because you believe that's morally superior. The same thing if you're on the far left. is that you think that you're morally superior, so you want everybody to do exactly how you want to do, and both sides want to use specifically government or societal conventions to make people do that, because they forget that people are individualistic.
Forget that people are people.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we take the idea of free will, right, if it exists, well, then it's impossible, like you said, to have any kind of social engineering, because that requires, right, like you said, the control of others. And again, it doesn't exist. It can't.
What does?
Social engineering can't exist. Like creating a method of operational society.
Yeah.
Unless something like INGSOC. But INGSOC doesn't work because you've taken away all free will. At that point, society is running like a machine, not a society.
Well, it's like, if you look at, if you have even just the precursory knowledge of history, you would look at any form of government which seeks to, let's say, oppress the people by curbing freedoms. And what American, the founding fathers suggested were natural laws, it's natural law. Yeah. If you have governments that curb those natural laws, you always see an uprising.
Just, you know,
you always do.
Curb your enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's not that maybe you're going to see it, and it's not that maybe you'll even see it within your generation or in the generation after you, but you will see an uprising, because history has a funny way of going towards a more, I would say, liberal society. It's always done that since civilization's been formed. It's gone to a more liberal society, and then that liberalism leans into tyranny, and then the tyranny has to lean back into liberalism, which then will go the opposite way, and it'll swing into ultra conservatism. It'll swing into despotism.
Bye, into, Chris. You're on your own.
Into
bye.
Oligarchies.
Later, Kyle.
Bye, bye.
All right. Mom just left. Bye, Mom. Everybody say bye, Mom.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, Mother. You're up, Kyle.
That was so deep.
Bye, Mother.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, Mother. But yeah, you run into Platonic and Aristotle.
Where are the other moms going?
Sorry.
You run into the Platonic and Aristotelian schools of thought with that idea of social engineering, because the Aristotle potentially is lateral, maybe.
I'm waiting for you to explain it.
So Plato, the way it was described to me, has a prescriptive like way of thinking, right? With what is it? Republic? Is that how it's said? Basically, dictates how the government should be run, how society should be run.
You talk about the philosopher king.
Is that what it's called?
Plato suggested that the way. That it should be a democratic system, and then the person on top is the philosopher king, who's the wisest among us all. He's voted in, and then he essentially becomes he does everything, right?
Right.
It's not like a parliamentary system or anything like that. It's just you vote the top guy in, top guy does everything.
Right, but the book is the Republic, right?
Yeah. Oh gosh, it's the Republic something. Hold on. I'll look it up.
Regardless, he it's prescriptive, right? It's how things should be.
Yeah.
Is a lot of what his philosophy is. And Aristotle more dived into descriptive thought of how things are. And so the way you were describing the differences.
It is the Republic.
The way you're describing social engineering, and the way that it must be, is that you look at society and determine how it operates, rather than determine how society operates and then try to force that onto them.
Yeah, well, again, it's the reason that social engineering always fails, and the reason why you always have uprisings in the end after those terrible governmental overreaches were instituted. The reason why is because, well, who decides what's right? Seriously, and that's an individual thing to do.
Yeah.
That's why if you're saying, no, what I'm saying is morally right, you have to do it. Well, what if I disagree? You go, oh, okay, well, then we'll fine you. Well, what if I refuse to pay the fine? Well, then you go to jail. What if I refuse to go to jail? Well, then we shoot you. Okay, because at the end of every government law is a gun.
Yeah.
It's always there.
Even if it's trained, like you just said. It's a...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Strain of actions.
Right, and it's like when you... what is it called? So the social contract that you enact just by being a citizen of a country right. is essentially like, I will follow the laws and I give up a certain amount of my freedoms for you to protect me from the external, right? A certain amount. Now, the contract differs between, you know, what constitution you're under, what which state you're under, but that is the that's what the social contract is. And so if you let's see, if you enter into a contract and you're like, all right, I sign away my rights to a certain amount of these freedoms so that you can protect me from, let's say, you know, invaders or something like that. Sure.
Foreigners.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to just skip past that. So, but the problem is that when the government, the people who, let's say, wrote the contract, when they add more stipulations in that take away more of your freedom, well, then the question becomes, well, when is it okay for me to say that I don't agree? You know, when is it okay for me to not sign that contract? And that's a tough question. That's why there's always a balance between government, you know, encroachment and civil liberties, because you have to have a balance there, because the government can't just decide what's right. Oh, it's always funny to me that people want to give more moral clarity to the government, and then but we still have a representative republic. It's like, okay, so you agree with the government's moral position on X issue, right? What about in 4 years? What if somebody else takes it over? Should they still have all the same encroachments? Because you don't agree with them then, but you want to give... I can't wrap my mind around why anybody would think that's a good idea. Just deal with it on your own. Be a productive member. Don't seek to minimize risk. Seek to optimize it. Mm-hmm. So...
Suffering.
That's my spiel.
Why are we still here? Just to suffer?
Can you simplify that last point that you made?
The last point?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so specifically in this, there's a relation here to kids, right?
Yeah.
And you see this, like, okay, take the movie Stand By Me, right? Like, you travel, mm-hmm. like, a billion fucking miles to go see a dead body, right? Yeah. Like, kids don't seek to minimize risk. Because if you put them in environments where you minimize the risk, the kid doesn't grow. Because they don't. Because mm-hmm. then, if you put them into the real world, then they have no ability to operate in that space. And that's where I think a lot of times people have anxiety, or anxiety attacks. You would say when you have that overreaction to so much stimuli, it's because your risk has been minimized all your life.
So unknown to that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's true in all cases, but I think that's true in a lot. But it's not that you need to minimize that. You need to optimize it. You need to say, okay, if I do this, I'll surely die. And if I do this, maybe I'll die. Well, if you have to choose between the two, you're
go with the one that's going to kill you. Absolutely. Well, right?
I'm saying go with the one that seems the most optimized. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. It's like, you know, you see kids playing unsafely on a playground and you think, okay, We have to look at this. And again, this is more so if you're a parent, you would, I guess, be making this decision if your kid's not old enough. But you see your kids playing on an unsafe playground, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to think, okay, if I take them out of this, what is it that they're losing? And if it's and to the risk of their, you know, death, I would say, because, you know, injury is a risk, sure, but death obviously is more so. To the risk of death, from me removing them from this time, whether they're with their friends or they're exploring, they're learning what it is the limits of their physical body are. What is that risk that I need to balance there? And I think that's a lot of maybe the difficulty with parenting and even more so with just growing up, is because you do have to extend yourself beyond the confines of your home. You have to, because you again, especially when you are learning and you're exploring. I mean, that's why babies are constantly running around and looking at things and developing their senses, developing when a child points at something, that is the first indication that they have learned how to separate out something of importance. And that's really powerful. And that's something that you have to do by allowing them to live.
Allowing them to play rock and roll.
Allowing them to play rock and roll, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Because they were all a bunch of sad guys when they were just going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, Larry whipped out the old electronic keyboard, and it was like,
his name Larry?
It's Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
And again, I mean, not every one of them played instruments or really joined the band, but like even the kid who does the light show and the kid who apparently like loved making like the uniforms and everything.
I mean obviously over the top.
I wasn't gonna say it, but yeah, but like that allowed them to learn what they were good at.
Right.
And they're not going to be in a rock band, but they can open up a boutique. They can open up a business, like a company.
Jack Black would say, just because you're not in the band doesn't mean you're not in the band. But yeah, Larry, all Larry! $10 if you get that. Goes up to Jack Black and is like, he goes,
hold up, here. That's the
safety.
Yeah. That's not the safety. This is the safety.
No, you just pull the trigger now.
Yeah. Oh. Kyle fired a gun.
Not again. Oh, I got it. That's the chamber.
No, that was Lucas that accidentally fired at him.
I got you.
Anyway,
that was a real gun, though.
Yeah, it was a real gun.
Can I have the fake gun?
The real
please?
Gun? Yeah.
The real fake gun?
Why he did that? Did you hear that?
It's time to lock and load.
Yeah.
Don't point it at me, Chris. If I took you to a gun range, I would die.
I'd be like, hey guys.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm like, what'd you say?
My sister did that once. But it's back when I got like a BB gun, like way back then.
I've actually fired
a
gun.
She fired a BB gun and she was like, ah, like that one.
Yeah, Angela did
that. Oh, you today.
The rifle.
She did that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
At a shooting range.
Like,
and it was whoa.
Yeah.
I might get canceled for this, but I grew up in a household that had guns.
Why did you not shoot yourself?
Oh, nose rings. But,
Hot topic, bitches.
Yeah. But,
speaking of hot topics.
Boy, I can't wait for my future employers to find this podcast.
Dude, me either.
I can't wait for my current employers to find it.
It's okay. You're quitting a job.
Oh. No, yeah, but I have another one that I need to keep.
Nah,
my employer's UNA, so UNA, don't listen to this or else.
Yeah,
so the Asian kid, Lawrence, he tells Jack Black he's not cool enough. But Jack Black's like, no, bro, you're cool, dude. And then guess what? He ends up being cool. All you need is a little bit of loving.
All you need is love. Is that Beatles?
I don't know.
I think so.
All you need is love.
Stick your finger in.
Nice.
Oh, what?
Stop. Have you never fired a gun? Are you not a man?
Cock it. Nice.
Quit touching my gun. Quit touching my. I'm packing over here. Quit touching it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys got anything else?
No, I ranted enough.
Yo, hey.
See, that was the sound that I heard earlier, man.
Hold on. Watch his hair. Watch. You see that?
Yeah, it reacted slightly to the air. How amazing.
Yeah, but it's a lot. Look at that. That's.
I mean, those fucking Nerf guns have safeties on them. I think that's badass.
I'm holding my weapon. Stop.
I want to.
I no.
I want to cock it.
Also, tweet us at Pacino Podcast on Twitter. I'm talking directly into the mic now.
Yeah, we put out we're done with promos.
Well, Jake still wants to film a promo
for this one.
He wants to keep it up, so we'll see how that goes.
Good. I was going to ask you.
Not with me. No, but I'm saying I can go get them. Well.
Okay.
It's also Thursday. I mean, we got Sunday.
Yeah.
Stop it. Also, if I see you Sunday,
what have we seen on Sunday?
I don't know. But anyways, yeah. Tweet us up there. Let us know what
Chris
you think.
Each other a lot of presents lately.
Well, this isn't like.
Let us know what you think about Jack Black. Oh, okay. Is he really black? So let us know on Twitter if we should cancel him for his last name.
I feel like Jack Black is actually 21 and will always be because, you know, invert the name.
What?
Blackjack. That's funny.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, what? Okay.
Yeah, he's actually a vampire called Blackjack.
But anyways, you guys know what time it is. It's ready or not scale time. Gotcha, Chris. Made you laugh.
I'm pretty sure this is 0 out of 5.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a 5 out of 5. Every kid exploded at the end.
I do not need to blow your mind.
Blow your mind. But that shit happens to Jack Black. All the time.
Literally all the time.
All the time.
Now let's take it
live.
Wait.
To Chris's little hidey hole where he raps.
All right.
He's rapping.
Give me a beat, boys. Give me a beat to free my soul.
I want to get lost in the rhyme. That's how I was about to say that.
No, the actual one is, give me the yeet, boys, to free my soul. I want to get tossed in a fucking hole and drift away.
Play me some Beach Boys and pee in a bowl. All right.
In a bowl?
Yeah. God, I hope it means the porcelain bowl.
I did write my own version of that song one time.
Well, that's what toilets are called.
Oh, porcelain like bowls?
Yeah, the bowl. Yeah, that's
like
a thing.
No, it's like a green pee.
It used to be made out of porcelain.
Pee in a bowl.
What was that face? Give me a bowl.
Yeah. My name is not Ross. I'm a joke.
Can you do this? Little curvy curve?
I'm sure I could. I mean... Yeah, I just
you guys ready for this shit? You guys ready for this fucking shit?
What speed you looking at?
No.
What is that, fucking Rihanna?
No. Just give me like a... All right. That's fine. I need to wet my whistle. Settle in. Classes is a school of rock. I'ma route down your lesson once I find my chalk. This ain't the Jack Black movie with the house and the clock, but I heard his wife says just got a... Fuck it! God damn it!
What happened?
I messed up.
Okay, I thought it was me because he started staring at me.
Do it again.
Rewind.
All right. Here we go. Settle in, classes is the school of rock. I'ma write down your lesson once I find my chalk. This ain't the Jack Black movie with the house and the clock, but I heard his wife says he's got a really nice rock. His pet, his name is Rhett, but there's no link to this podcast that we make, cause it kinda stinks, but not as much as Jake's apartment's gonna be. I'ma take a shit in his kitchen sink. What?
I'm leaving all of that in there.
I dropped.
That's like the Natalie Portman
rhythm. I lost the rhythm that I had for that.
Yeah,
yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
I think we could tell.
That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Same.
What are you trying to?
Hey.
Jake's trying to shoot me, and when he does, I'm gonna.
Jesus. Bye. Stout sauerkraut.
Stout and sour fuck.
No.
Stout and sauerkraut.
Stout and sour cream and onion chips.